I'll tell you what, it'll make me fall to pieces. Not just the smooth, dulcet tones of Patsy Cline, but Donald Trump is president again. What about you? I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Quick correction. My thanks to Stevie Online, one of my great journalists. Been doing the work for 30 plus years. Her name is Christiane Amanpour, not Christine or whatever I said. So thanks, Stevie. I appreciate it when I get online fact checks and we can do it live on the air. That's nice.
If only everybody had that same type of, integrity or care or concern for the facts. But my goodness.
Before I get into the Wisconsin Supreme Court's decision to reinstate the use of drop boxes here in our great state, which dropped on Friday, operative word drop in this segment, let's do a little Brewers trivia because they are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at AmFam Field. First pitch is at 7:10. Everybody knows I love me some baseball. I will be watching if I can. There's a few things going on right now.
More likely you'll have the radio on in the background with one of our stations playing.
Correct. If you would like to go to the Brewers game, be the first person to call Fancy Brian Kelly and tell him what the name of the Seattle franchise was that moved to Milwaukee to become the Brewers. This is Bud Selig fame, okay? What was the name of the Seattle baseball team that came to Milwaukee and became the Brewers after the Braves deserted us? Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to get a pair of tickets to tonight's Brewers-Pirates game at AmFam Field in the beautiful Civic Media box. All right. Now we shall return to the day's topics at hand. Remind me to ask the question again, Brian, if we don't get anybody. If you want a pair of tickets, 7:10 first pitch to the Brewers game, what was the name of the Seattle baseball franchise that moved to Milwaukee to become the Brewers? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Otherwise, you might force Fancy Brian and I to enjoy the game.
I'll enjoy it either way.
Indeed, it's fun taking a Cubs fan to games. I digress. Okay.
Wisconsin, we're the most fun people on earth.
With fear for our democracy, I dissent. On Friday, Wisconsin's liberal-leaning Supreme Court restored the use of absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin. We will have drop boxes for the August 13th partisan primary, and we will have it for the November 5th general election where America will choose its 47th president. This was a 4-3 decision right along sort of partisan lines on the court. And just for context, before the rationality compromising era of Trump, Wisconsin had used absentee ballot boxes for a long, long time. Nobody ever gave two toots about it.
When people started getting really mad about it, I actually put out there, okay, let's pretend fairies and magic exists. Give me a scenario that you completely make up that makes any sense, even in a small amount of way, as to how people are cheating and using drop boxes specifically to cheat in an election. Everyone kept on changing the subject or saying something different or gobbledygook, blah, blah, blah.
That is the same version of the beef that I always have, Brian, which is someone will call and slam Biden or Democrats, and I'll go, okay, name a policy, and I'll tell you what our compromise position is to get things done for the American people in the middle class. Just name one. Pick one. And it's like radio silence. The guy yesterday, stop trashing Donald Trump. Okay, name something I've said that wasn't true about what Donald Trump got done. He hung up the phone. I mean, And when I get the facts wrong, again, as I did yesterday about inflation, I corrected it.
Even on something small, like mispronouncing someone's name.
Christian Amanpour. Thank you. It's really interesting to sort of look at what the narrowness with which the conservative-dominated Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed absentee ballot drop boxes. They just said, well, state law doesn't expressly anywhere permit it. So, illegal. That's not the way election law works. That's not the way any laws work. What do I mean by that? There's no legislative body in the world, on almost any topic in the world, that you can legislate every exact detail on that issue. You just can't. It's impossible because you can't predict the future. You can't know every factual circumstance. And here is the thing. I'm going to blow everybody's mind. Before, if you're conservative, please don't call me on this topic because I'm just... Fine, you can, and I'll take your call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But if you're a conservative, I want you to hear what I'm going to say and just entertain the possibility that this might be true. And if it is true, then what really is all of this about? Okay. So for well over, I don't know, 15, 20 years, Wisconsin had drop boxes. No big deal. In fact, before all of this ridiculousness, 66 of 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin had drop boxes. Guess what the political leanings of the vast majority of Wisconsin counties are?
Oh, they have drop boxes. They're a bunch of liberal havens, I'm assuming.
No, the vast number of Wisconsin counties are Republican. A Republican leaning. Here's what. Early voting or absentee ballot drop boxes are of a greater benefit to the Republican Party and conservatives and red counties, especially red rural counties, than they are to Democratic ones. I'm going to try this one more time. Listen carefully. Early voting, or as we call it in Wisconsin, absentee ballot drop boxes are in every single Wisconsin county except for six, and they are more helpful in rural Republican-leaning counties because it's simply harder for people to get to polling places on election day because there are fewer polling places, things are more spread out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this is a lie. Lying Trump, lying GOP, lying RNC. All of this concern is a bunch of garbage. And as a point of fact, these boxes are typically at libraries, police stations, fire stations with video cameras, and they are locked and monitored. Some have made an argument that they're safer than mailing in your ballot. So the conservative-dominated court back in 2021 decided, oh, they're illegal. Because state law didn't specifically permit them. That's not the way laws get interpreted. Election law in the state of Wisconsin, actually, as its preamble, which is the guiding premise, by which every court and the Wisconsin Elections Commission is bound to interpret all of the laws, is it says that the laws are supposed to be interpreted in their totality so as to give effect to every validly cast vote. Try that one on for a side. A state statute that actually says we should count all of the votes cast by valid electors, by people entitled to vote. That principle and reading the election law in its totality is how we should go about doing that. the Republican-dominated former Wisconsin Supreme Court was simply wrong. And what blows me away about the dissent written by the Mensa member legal luminary known as Rebecca Bradley is that she had the audacity in the wake of this kangaroo Supreme Court of the United States who declared that presidents are kings and, you know, judges should just make up what parts per billion is an okay amount of PFAS in our water and air and land. But that court that took away fundamental freedoms for the first time in 50 years, that clearly partisan court, totally out of touch with America, Rebecca Bradley has the audacity to write in the dissent this. The majority again forsakes the rule of law in an attempt to advance its political agenda. The majority ends the term by loosening the legislature's regulations governing the privilege of absentee voting in the hopes of tipping the scales in future elections. That is so revolting to me. When we all know, and there is legion examples of this, that Republicans in the state of Wisconsin introduced voter ID to suppress the votes of Black people, older people, and young people. Don't preach at us, Rebecca, because your words ring hollow. You were wrong the first time around. It was a garbage interpretation of the law, and you damn well know it.
Even the major people in the Republican Party have stopped saying liberal activist judges. Have you noticed that?
Interesting.
Huh. She seems to be going the
totally
old way.
Totally out of touch. I mean, oh, and by the way, guess who's voted by mail? Guess who's had ballots picked up by other people and taken them to polling places? Might it be Donald Trump? Yes, yes, indeed. I'll review Donald Trump's voting record when we get back, because apparently it's fine for him, but not fine for you. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You walk by and I fall to pieces.
Now, what's in the box?
Guess who I'm not inviting to my party? Rebecca Bradley. Nope, nope, not.
She seems so kind and loving and weird looking.
So, welcome back, everybody. I should say that. Hello. Happy Tuesday. That's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media. Rebecca Bradley was sitting about 5 feet from me when I was invited by the Milwaukee County Board to give an address about what allyship and advocacy looked like at the end of March. She's right. And I began my remarks by talking about the fact that last year I had to wake up and one day I had rights and the next day I had fewer rights, and what an abomination that is. And she had been smiley and happy, and a couple of my friends took snapshots of like the before Rebecca and then the after Rebecca. Yeah, she was not pleased.
That's good.
Yeah, I was pleased. I was happy.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. So Donald Trump and his lying co-conspirators talk about ballot stuffing. Okay? That's what they'll say. That's the line about drop boxes. Brian, my friend, has a great question. What do you mean? Show me that people have illegally voted in, by putting it in a ballot drop box. You can't get the ballot without showing. You have to take a picture of your ID. You have to send that in. You have to have your address verified. You have to show proof of address. You have to do all of the stuff you do when you show up in person. All of it. Same stuff. No difference. And if you're going to talk about security, again, the drop boxes are locked. They got cameras on them. They're at things like libraries and the actual clerk's offices, city halls, police departments, fire departments. It's nuts.
I believe one of the crazy Republicans decided to go and show that how how horrible and easy it is to cheat on our ballots by going and requesting a fake absentee or somebody else's absentee ballot and then turning it in. And you know how we found
busted.
That out? Because they got caught because our system works.
And no one, there's been zero analysis that has ever showed that people who, that when it happens, it's by mistake, they think they're entitled to vote, they're not, has ever showed anything close to the volume that could ever impact an election outcome.
They spent over $1 million of our own money to go and investigate $2 million of our own money.
The Mensa member, also known as Michael Gableman.
Yeah, to go and find absolutely nothing. And he is one person who literally will fabricate anything if he has something.
Lying Gableman, lying Trump, lying Voss. Voss even said Gableman was a disaster, but you know, whatever. Here's what. Okay, so... And I actually think it's longer than 20 years. I think we've had drop boxes in Wisconsin since like the freaking 90s. Like, why are they a concern now? It's just totally ridiculous, okay? Drop boxes arguably more secure than mail-in ballots, which Trump has also assailed. Lying Trump and lying GOP, lying RNC, lying Ron Johnson, lying Robin Voss. More secure than mail-in. Oh, Donald Trump cast a mail-in ballot twice in the 2020 primary elections.
I don't think he can do that this year, can he?
It'll be interesting. I don't know. And of course, he got criticized for it in October of 2020. So then in the fall, he actually voted in person. And he did this twice in 2020, despite the fact that his motorcade drove right past the early voting site in Palm Beach County, where he would have voted. That's according to CNN.
You think he actually looks outside and notices there's an outside world?
No. Here's what Donald Trump said in the summer of 2020. I'm an absentee voter because I can't be in Florida. I'm in Washington. I'm at the White House, so I'm an absentee voter. We have a lot of absentee voters, and it works. We're in favor of absentee, but it's much different than millions of people in California. They're going to send out millions of voting forms. Well, where are they going to go? You read where postmen are in big trouble now. No, you haven't. No. You read where city councils are in big trouble now. No, you haven't. Voter fraud all over the ballot. No, never proven. Not a scintilla of evidence.
Not even an alternate theory.
This is so fundamentally grotesque to me. It's like, oh, mail-in ballot, that's fine for me. But if you're in a liberal state or you're a liberal, then it's not okay for you. This isn't how we run democracies, people. It's just not. You don't get to have rules for your team and then different rules for the other team. Everyone equal under the law, except the president, who's a king. Thank you, Supreme Court. But it gets better. In 2018, Trump voted absentee. So did Vice President Pence, Attorney General Bill Barr, Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, and campaign manager Brad Parscale. 2017, this is the good one. The New York Daily News reported that Trump filled out an absentee ballot for the mayoral election and checked a box on the application stating that he would be absent from the city on election day. Apparently he wasn't. Is that voter fraud? Did Donald Trump commit voter fraud?
On a paper?
The newspaper also found that Trump's ballot application listed his birthday as July, but it's actually June 14th, 1946. Is that voter fraud? Did Donald Trump commit voter fraud?
Or no one cares enough to know what his birthday is around him that filled it out for him, but that's illegal?
And New York One reported that Trump and his wife Melania authorized a campaign staffer to pick up the ballots for them, which is what they assailed in Wisconsin when we asked for people to be able to, during the COVID pandemic, to go to nursing homes where people were dying to pick up absentee ballots. That's what Republicans assailed as fraud in this state because they lie. Oh, by the way, in 2004, Access Hollywood filmed Trump as he attempted to vote in person in New York City, but he was turned away from various polling sites because he wasn't registered to vote at those locations. In the video, Trump grew frustrated and said, "I'm going to fill out the absentee ballot." And he was filmed filling it out in the backseat of a car. They reported that he filled out a provisional ballot. Guess what Republicans also hate? Provisional ballots. Apparently, all of these things are just fine for Donald Trump. And don't mean that we should throw out election results, you know, when Republicans win. But if a Democrat wins or it's happening in a Democratic-leaning county like Milwaukee or Dane, all of a sudden it's fraud, fraud, fraud. Lies. Damn lies and the lying liars that tell them, "I'm talking to you, lying Trump." I'm so sick of this. By the way, in April, Brad Schimming, chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, and Ron Johnson urged supporters to embrace absentee voting in Wisconsin. So never mind, I guess. I'll be back. Just give us a sec. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
But the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
If I told you how much I think about her, you'd think I was in love. And if you knew how much I looked.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Statewide, except for our friends in Madison. Shed a tear. They don't get to hear us.
Oh, they can if they chose the app and chose the 540 AM app. You can listen to anywhere in the world, actually. As long as you have the Civic Media app, you can take us with you anywhere you go.
So if you know your friends in Madison want to be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, tell them to go get the Civic Media app and pick basically any other station. And you will find us there.
Can't miss us. We're large people.
Ron from Milwaukee, you've been very patient, sir. What would you like to say this afternoon?
If you don't mind, I'd like to rewind a little bit to the discussion about Rebecca Bradley losing it because of the most recent decision.
Yep.
There's a little sidebar here. I've noticed in the year or so since the Wisconsin Supreme Court took on Justice Protasiewicz.
Protasiewicz. I'm here to help.
Protasiewicz. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Every news story I've seen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I'm sure this happens around the state to some degree or another, always starts out the article saying the liberal controlled.
Yep.
Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, the funny part about that is two things. One is I don't recall. I'd bet $10 if anybody wants to go through the archives. I don't. That when the conservatives took control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court 12 years ago, or whatever it was, do you think that they spent that decade saying the conservative controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court? Hell no. It's the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It just happens to have more conservatives. Well, and the other thing is that one day there were two articles about Supreme Court decisions. One was a majority of all liberal justices, and the other decision was a mixed bag where there were a couple. Yep. Right.
Yep.
So the first one, of course, said the liberal controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court. The second one started out So it's got the Supreme Court, because obviously they couldn't say that. You know, so I think we get sucked into the movement conservatism's rhetoric and speaking language and belief system when we do these things. And I don't think it's anything evil on the part of the reporters or the editors. I think they started out saying, well, this is news, so we're going to keep referring to it. But
well, I'll just, let me just hop in here for a second, Ron. The Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just like many, if not all, print papers, with the exception of the big, huge Goliaths, WAPO, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, LA Times, Chicago Trib, are all struggling to stay alive. The Journal Sentinel needs outstate and upstate purchasers, and outstate and upstate and rural state purchasers are more conservative. So part of this, I just think, is really Machiavellian about who they're trying to appeal to. And just I want to be clear, the headline from the Journal Sentinel just says Wisconsin Supreme Court reinstates absentee ballot drop boxes. However, the first line of the article, to your point, Ron, says Wisconsin's liberal controlled. And again, I couldn't agree with you more about how the coverage has changed. They didn't write that way when it was a conservative controlled Supreme Court. Did you have another point, Ron?
No, we covered it pretty thoroughly, I think.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for calling. It's a great reminder, great insight. I appreciate you calling and listening, Ron. Please continue to do so and tell all your friends. CJ, I'm going to take you in just a second, and I wanted to say this as preface. I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine this past holiday weekend, and she said, Maggie, you cut CJ off all the time. You cut conservatives off on your show. And I do, in fairness, I try to take the callers. I try to let people talk. But I don't think I've said this part explicitly on air ever, which is the why. Why do I cut them off? And here is the why. And it relates, Ron's point brought this to mind. I, as someone that worked in government for a really long time, and as someone who lived through the Bush v. Gore, and then lived through 2016, I have become completely frustrated and disillusioned with media, period, that do not correct obvious and evident misstatements, like just flat out lies, and or do not correct or stop racist rhetoric. And I don't mean acknowledging that if you grew up in the United States, especially if you're white, you're going to be addressing your own racism for the entirety of your life, that you have to understand that that is the programming of America. And allow that kind of hate speech, I'm so disturbed and over that. And so I made a decision when I got on the air that if to the best of my ability, in good faith, and to the best of my knowledge, a caller started to lie or say something that was riddled or rooted in misogyny, homophobia, or racism. So lies, mischaracterizations, or homophobia, misogyny, or racism, they're going to get cut off by me, because on the show that bears my name, I'm not going to let that happen. That is my why. And the other thing, the last thing, so it's those two things. And number three is this. I am a lawyer. When I ask you a direct question, I expect a direct answer. This isn't your show. It's my show. And until someone gives you yours, I get to decide what we're talking about. And I would expect some, I hope, respect for me as a host to try to actually answer the question so that we can have a conversation. And my questions aren't always designed to be a cross-examination. They're designed to try to get at the places where we may actually agree. because I think finding those moments of agreement now is more important than it has ever been. And when someone dodges the question or brings up something that is irrelevant in a courtroom, it's objection, Your Honor. That answer is non-responsive. Please direct the witness to answer the question. And so the third pillar, the third leg of my show when it comes to taking callers is if I'm asking you a direct question and you talk about something else, I'm cutting you off. Dems the rules on this here show. With that in mind, CJ, have you ever voted absentee?
Gosh, I don't think I have. I don't think I have.
What do you think about the drop boxes?
I've actually not. I think that they should be allowed with restrictions.
Tell me what the restrictions are. That's great. We agree. Wonderful. Tell me about the restrictions.
Well, depending on how they're secured, where they're secured, if there's cameras, if people have to actually sign up for a ballot to have
they
delivered,
do
not mass mailings.
That is the law, well, in the state of Wisconsin.
Show an ID. My
they have to do
did
that.
Not have to show an ID.
That is untrue. I can't speak for your sister, but unless you were sitting there with her when she filled out the application process, there is one exception, and that is if you have a disability and you sign an affidavit to that effect, you can't produce it. The vast, vast majority of absentee ballot requests require an ID.
Hey, Maggie, I had lunch with your substitute, Matt Rothschild. I don't know if he told you about that.
Okay, so I just want to return to the topic, CJ. But, so you were talking about restrictions because we're talking about absentee ballot drop boxes, and you said you think they're a good thing, and you also said there should be restrictions like cameras and that they should be in places where they're secured. I totally agree.
It should go through the legislature, not the Supreme Court.
So the
laws
so,
are made
so,
by the legislature.
So I'm
enforced by the Supreme Court, right?
So CJ, which Supreme Court counts, yours or mine?
The point is that this was bypassed from the lawmakers, and that
CJ, whose Supreme Court counts? Whose Supreme Court counts, yours or mine? If we're gonna deal with it that way. Yours or mine?
See, this is what Matt said you do.
And we're done.
Yeah.
Yes, I ask rhetorical questions to point towards an issue. I just gave you the rules. Those are my rules. When Matt subs, Matt can do it any way he stinking wants. I'm going to just say this to you, CJ, because I'm going to not take you for a while. How dare you call up my show and tell me how a substitute host deals with my show and deals with you as a caller? That's Matt's discretion. This is mine. You're going to be done for a while.
And if any of y'all conservatives have a problem with getting cut off when you maybe go off subject a little bit, do you know how many times Maggie cuts me off for going off subject? All the time. You know why? Because we have a show to do, and we can't keep sitting here listening and oh, let me make sure that CJ feels okay.
I'm going to just say this. Are you freaking kidding me? Would you call up Jeff Wagner? I've had enough.
But they have opinions and they're important.
More important than mine. I'm going to move on. This week, for Joe Biden's top 100, we're talking about infrastructure. I have to call out this text because it's so on point. Cam from Nina texted in and said, CJ just pulled, well, my dad says, or this older, more respectable guy who's smarter than you says, or this other dude says, yeah. Well, that's not what I say. Thank you, Cam. This week in Biden's top 100, we're talking about infrastructure. Yesterday, day 25, and today is about rail and roads. Here's what Joe Biden did for the Fox Valley in Green Bay. This is the Fox River Swing Bridge Improvement and Sustainability Project. $2 million grant is going to go to the Fox Valley and Lake Superior Rail System for planning and construction for the rehabilitation of three swing bridges, absolutely critical to Wisconsin's economy. This project is going to help meet existing demands and will help the Fox Railway prepare for future construction work that will increase load carrying capacity. Guess what that does? Help support family sustaining middle class jobs. That's what Joe Biden is getting done for the state. It's the three bridges, the one across downtown Green Bay. That's a $6.8 million investment from the Biden administration across the Fox River between Green Bay and Alloway, north of Georgia Pacific's Broadway Mill. Estimated cost $11.6 million. That is Joe Biden to you all in Fox River Valley. And the third bridge across the Fox River on the east end of the flats in Appleton, that cost at $2.9 million. These three bridge projects are part of more than a dozen proposed in the Wisconsin Rail Plan for 2050 that Joe Biden has gotten done for Wisconsin, for middle-class families, and long-range freight train projects. We come back, I'm going to tell you about Eau Claire and Madison for day 26. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We don't do dueling tangents anymore. Just the facts and no BS here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
Multi-dimensional, amazing, unexpected sound, refugee all star. Yes. The sweetest thing I've ever known was like the kiss on a collarbone.
Sweetest thing I've ever known is a debate where someone actually stays on topic and answers the question.
Well, when you have nothing, you really have to move on, don't you?
I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the last segment of the day. He's Brian Kelly. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. As much as I have been able to, given news of the day, we have been doing Joe Biden's Top 100 every day, an accomplishment of Joe Biden that is serving middle-class Americans, and especially middle-class Wisconsinites. Joe Biden has made absolutely extraordinary investments in Wisconsin's infrastructure. That simply isn't going to stop. In Eau Claire, Joe Biden got done what is called the Galloway Street Vehicular and Pedestrian Rail Crossing Eliminations and Construction of Galloway Street Rail Overpass. $10 million from Joe Biden to Eau Claire to go towards creating an overpass over the tracks on Galloway Street. This is near Banbury Place, to allow for safer transport of both motor vehicles and pedestrians on the Chippewa River Regional Trail. Thank you, Joe Biden. This comes as part of Joe Biden's Department of Transportation plan to eliminate railroad crossing in 32 states to increase safety, you know, so that like that terrible train accident that happened in Ohio doesn't happen. There's a massive investment that Joe Biden is directing through the DOT to improve rail safety. We've had passenger rail derailments in New York. We've had train derailments here in Wisconsin and downtown Milwaukee. People died in Ohio. Like, Joe Biden is doing something about it.
Yeah, my buddy runs a rail yard out in Jersey, and he was
scary.
He was the one who had to deal with that was his rail yard that it crashed into.
Oh my gosh,
it's an insane situation. And yeah, and it's amazing. Also, wouldn't it be great if downtown Waukesha had a way to get around the ridiculous amount of trains that go downtown here? Mm. But knowing the people here, they'll probably say, no, it's federal money, ew.
I mean, I don't mean to bring this topic up, but I thought one of the issues that happened with a recent police chase in downtown Waukesha was that, like, the train cut the guy off. And, I mean, it's safer for people that work the rails. The more efficient the rail system is, the less delays they are.
Yeah, because you have to slow down the whole time through.
Correct. That juices the local economy. That's better for the middle class. So this is part of the USDOT's $570 million in federal grants to 32 states, accomplished by Joe Biden. This is part of the overarching Joe Biden $1 trillion infrastructure package that he got done in November. Just a reminder, tomorrow, everybody. Oh, should we try to give away one quick pair of tickets? We got one more pair of tickets.
Okay, if they call by the end of the show, sure.
Okay, here is your last trivia question. Who took over as Brewers manager of the 1982 team in late May and turned the team into the American League East Division winner? This is an easy one. Who took over as manager of the Brewers in 1982 in late May and turned them into the AL East division winner? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You'll be going to the 7:10 start game against the Pittsburgh Pirates this evening at AmFam Field. Good luck. By the way, Sharky got the last set of tickets. And the answer to that question was, what was the team that moved to Milwaukee from Seattle? It was the Pilots. Did you know they only played a year in Seattle? Just 1969. 1 year, and they were out. Okay, tomorrow we are going to have a great show. I'm going to be talking about the RNC platform, which will then bridge us to Thursday's show that's going to be about Project 2025, which Donald Trump calls on his website, Agenda 47, and the VP Olympics. But I will also talk about the other big court case decided, late last night from Judge Brett Ludwig, holding that the coalition to march on the RNC may not enter the hard perimeter during the RNC. I'm going to call this one a duh decision. You may be surprised to hear that from me. No, I do not adhere to liberal dogma. I think this was correctly decided. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow, but more importantly, I'll dig into the RNC platform, which is basically Project 2025 with a little lighter touch on abortion, which is a Trump lie and an RNC lie and a Republican lie. They want a national abortion ban, which is also referred to now as Agenda 47, which you can Google, and that's Trump's website for his campaign. I have a last little bit of fact for you. I think last week I told everybody Rudy Giuliani disbarred from the state of New York. If you're ever wondering about the two legal systems that exist, let me tell you this. There's just a legal system for rich, powerful people, and then a system for everybody else like you and me. How do we know this? Here's another example. Rudy Giuliani's in bankruptcy. He filed in December 2023, owes $150 million to about 20 individuals and entities, including over $140 million to the two Georgia election workers he defamed. Guess how much Rudy Giuliani has been spending? After agreeing in bankruptcy court to limit himself to reasonable monthly spending. What's that number, Brian?
Reasonable monthly spending for Rudy Giuliani? Uh-huh. Oh, I'd say upwards of $5,000.
$43,000 a month.
How? That's a salary a month.
That, my friends, is two legal systems. One, that a guy filing for bankruptcy because he ruined the lives of two women, doesn't pay his lawyers or other people that work for him and owes $153 million, gets to blow $43,000 a year as overseen by, you know, our legal system and a federal bankruptcy court judge. That's what you need to know about two legal systems.
Yeah, that's totally normal.
Did we get a winner yet?
Oh, yeah. Andrew.
Andrew! Enjoy the Brewers game. Andrew, Sharky, and Lynn. Thank you to everybody for calling, even CJ. It makes for a lively afternoon of talk radio. Devil's Advocates are next. That's going to do it for Brian and I this afternoon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better.